I never get tired of finding out he loves me. Sometimes I don't act like I'm very lovable, but I tell you, when the Lord reminds me in different ways in my life, it's a great blessing to know that he cares. No one ever loved us like he loves us.
Amen.
Let's keep on walking for him. We're in John chapter 6 tonight. We're going to be looking at the feeding of the 5,000, which is one of the miracles that's in all four Gospels. So I encourage you to look at them. A lot of different points of view. But some try to say that the Bible is not inspired and everybody just kind of, you know, did whatever they wanted to do. But the Holy Spirit did move men to write the Scriptures.
Yes.
But he didn't erase their personality, their perspective, and things like that. And John, of course, as I learned in Bible college and then later realized it was right, John approaches Jesus as the Son of God.
Amen.
And other ones look, Mark is the servant, and Luke's the Son of Man, and Matthew's the King.
Yeah.
And there are different perspectives of Christ. And if we were to all witness the same thing, we would probably all have a different perspective of the accident or the situation or the miracle. If you were to look at a painting and describe it, you might be drawn to certain things and that I might not see or I might not focus on. So that, to me, is the beauty of the Scriptures and the harmony of the Scriptures. And I'm glad it's a living, breathing book. I'm glad God's preserved it for us and given it to us. So we're in John chapter number 6. I'm going to look at tonight. I borrowed a lunchbox. It's been a long time since I've had a lunchbox. This is not my lunchbox. And it's not a lunchbox that they might have had back then. To be honest with you, my generation had way cooler lunchboxes than this. Okay, this was Micah's box. He took the works on. Back in my day, they were metal. You could use them as a weapon. You could use it as a shield. Football. I mean, there's a lot of things you could do. And then the thermos inside, if you actually still had one of those, a lot of things you can do with that. And then food would go in it as well. Tonight I have a couple little things, and I use this little object lesson for some of the kids there. If I can, this got more pockets than I can keep up with. I was trying to make a concoction of some bread and fish. I also thought about bringing some fish sticks tonight, but I decided I'm not going to stretch that too far. And then I was going to try to puff up this tortilla, and it's as flat as it can be. This is not what I had in mind at all. And I wouldn't want to eat this, and I wouldn't want you to have to eat this. And it doesn't smell too bad, but just to bring it along to tell you. And then, of course, the fish, you know, my budget for object lessons, you know, some of those preachers, many of them are false doctrine and all kind of problem, but they got millions of dollars for all their shows and stuff. They could have had in a real aquarium and real, you know, I've got this little fish here. And I did have five of these and not two pieces, not two. And it's like, whoever, I couldn't find on the internet to get myself lined up. I said, why can't I find two fish, but I can only find five fish? And I cannot find bread that works. So it's the loaf of bread that this little lad's going to have in this story was not like going to Bunny Bread or Wonder Bread or some of the bread you have at your house. It's a flat, unleavened bread. It would have been a smaller, something kind of like that possibly, but a little bit more depth to it. And then the fish could have been common fish that were brought around there. And then the little lad, either he was able to wander around with all these thousands of people that day, or his mom just sent him out with his little food bag, and he followed the crowd and stayed around Jesus this day. And so we're going to look at the lunchbox of faith here a little bit, and there's some really interesting things to me. I got some food out of this myself. I hope it'll be a blessing to you. But in John chapter number 6, and verse number 1, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. One important thing about that verse 4 is to help us understand why there's so many thousands of people around. 5,000 men counted beside the women and the children. This is a large group of people. And the Passover time where they would come and the Passover lamb would be offered, and it'd be a time to remind them of the blood sacrifice and how that they were delivered and redeemed from the hand of the Egyptians. And so there's a lot of people around here. And then the Bible said Jesus then lifted up his eyes, verse 5, and saw a great company come unto him. He saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? This word whence is like how and where and why, almost all wrapped up into one word. And so he asked Philip about this. I think it's interesting to look at this to understand that the Lord Jesus never does anything by accident in any of his moves in his ministry. I have a book called Wilmington's Guide to the Bible. If you could ever get one of those, find it in a thrift store or something, it'd be worth buying. It is a very exhaustive book that this man even drew pictures in. And I'm not saying it's like perfect doctrinally. I've never found anything that I was in great conflict with. But it's a great book as far as everything I've ever studied out of it. And he has a series in there on the New Testament called 72 Steps of the Savior. It's a powerful thing that he lists out these steps and these moves. And every time he made a move, it was on purpose. And it was getting closer to the cross of Calvary. And when he does a miracle like this, it's going to really put him on the map here. And then the time of the resurrection of Lazarus and other things like that, it really is going to draw attention. So he was willing here on this miracle to draw such attention, because there's no way out of 5,000 people involved in this, 5,000 plus involved, that somebody's not going to take notice and something's going to be brought to his attention to cause them to be more upset with Jesus and not willing to share the spotlight with him. The reason I said that to say this, Philip was not talked to by Jesus by accident. He didn't do like I do, and like looking around and I can't remember half of anybody's name, can't hardly remember my name. He didn't come here, David, Brother Rock. He talked to Philip on purpose, and here I want to prove it to you. The Bible says in Luke 9:10, when he's talking about the time of him and the apostles, he said, and the apostles, when they returned, told him all they had done, and he took them and he went aside privately to a desert place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. Now the Bible teaches us that in John 12:1, there came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee. This is Philip's home turf. This is where he lived. He knew about this place. And some believe that as Judas was the treasurer that kept all the money, that Philip was responsible for some of the provisions of the apostles, the disciples, to help make sure they got fed. And then Jesus turns to him, you know, can you imagine one day you're out with just the 12 and Jesus, and maybe he said to Philip, hey, Philip, just take care of some food. Let's get some food together. And he takes care of that. And then today he said, hey, Philip, let's feed all these people today. Now the Bible said he did this in verse 5. He asked him, whence shall we buy bread? Verse 6, I preached a whole message out of this verse one time. He said this to prove him. For he himself knew what he would do. Now some interpret this, he's proving Philip, and that he knew what Philip would do. And some look at this to say that he is proving his own self, because he obviously knew what Jesus himself would do. I lean towards that, but I love one thing to understand. It can mean both of them at the very same time. But Jesus is going to prove himself for sure today. Proving a miraculous thing, as you know the story, that he's going to feed 5,000 men beside the women and the children here in this story. So Philip, in verse number 5, is asked where to get the bread, how to get the bread, and the word buy is mentioned. If I tell you to buy something, I'm talking about money. So he's going to have to probably get with Judas to get this done. I don't know about you, but I don't think I'd like Judas very much. Now, I don't know a whole lot about him. What little I know, I don't like. But he fooled a lot of people for a long time, but he never fooled the Lord.
That's right.
And so Philip and Judas might have to get involved here. But it comes down to this. Philip answered, 200 penny worth of bread, which is all they could buy, is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. So Philip is involved in this story of faith. And he is of this city called Bethsaida. And Bethsaida, anytime you hear the word Beth, it means house. Bethlehem, house of bread. Bethsaida means house of fishing. And the Lord on purpose has moved everybody next to this seacoast area, this town where Philip grew up, where he fished himself. And there's going to be more people fed with least amount of fish and going to eat all at the same time than no doubt than any time in the history of this town. I don't think it could ever get close to comparing the table that the Lord is going to set here. And he's going to feed all of them, not with a bunch of different vendor trucks, but he's going to take one little lad's lunch box and take five loaves that, thank the Lord, look better than my little loaf I had, my little flatbread thing I tried to create, and two fish. Very possible this was this little boy's all-day food. Might have been some leftovers, but he was, you don't freeze fish back then, so when it was in the box, it's going to be eaten pretty quick and probably planned for him. And so I think it's kind of exciting to me that the Lord's going to do some fishing and feed more people with fish. This is going to be the greatest fish house you've ever seen. Amen. And he's going to do it with two fish and five little loaves of bread. Because I do believe Jesus knew what he was going to do. Amen. Yes. I believe he knew what was getting ready to happen. I believe he knew exactly how many people were there. John that wrote it and others that wrote it, they didn't count everybody. But I promise you, God Almighty knew exactly how many people would be there. Now, Philip looked at how many people were there, how much bread that they needed, how little money they had, and through Philip's eyes, they didn't have enough. They didn't have enough even for them to have a little. You ever look through Philip's eyes? You ever had Philip's glasses, so to speak, on? Have you ever kind of looked at things that way where you didn't see what was possible with the Lord when the Bible teaches us? We know some things that maybe Philip had not quite yet really grown into. We should be arrived at a certain position to know that with the Lord, with God, all things are possible. But sometimes our faith is not even the size of a grain of mustard seed. Sometimes it's so small that we can't even, we just see the circumstances around us. We see the mass. He saw the masses of the people. He saw what little they had to buy bread with, and didn't think that even if they bought 200 penny worth of bread, that they could even be able to have enough, that everybody would just have just a little piece of that. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here. Now, somebody preached or said something about this one night not too long ago. You know, Andrew brought Peter to the Lord. And Andrew now here is finding, it might have been Brother Robert, but somebody said it. And now Andrew's seeking out this little lad here. And I don't know how the dialogue went down, but Andrew knew what was in this boy's lunchbox. And this little boy is trusting and opening up. Now, I don't know if it would be like this, Brother Jerry, where it'd be like you getting your bread all out there and getting yourself together, got your thermos out, your $6 million man thermos out of your little box. Some of y'all can't relate to that part, but and you got your little fish out there and you're getting ready to eat, and Andrew goes, hey, there's some bread and fish. And you're looking around, you talking to me? You want my bread and fish? And Andrew mentions this to them. Maybe he already been looking. I don't know all the ins and outs of that. But this little lad had five barley loaves, two small fishes. And then even Andrew said, but what are they among so many? So different people are revealed here that their faith is put to the test at this situation. And I want you to understand, when the situation is bigger than our substitution of things, we sometimes act in fear rather than faith. And we want to substitute somehow, and then we start feeling our weakness and our inabilities about things, and we just feel like, well, it just can't be done. We just need to send them home. This is impossible. But the Lord has tried to teach us in our lives that there's a lot of things that a lot of people, doctors, have told some of you that there were some things in your life that was impossible, but yet here you are. There's some of you that weren't supposed to be born, yet here you are. Amen. So if we would just quit looking at all the things we could substitute and the situation being bigger than our faith, and just believe that the Lord knows what He's going to do, and He's going to get a little lunchbox of faith here and just do the miraculous thing. The Bible teaches us faith is the substance of things hoped for. You can have just a little bit of faith to hope. God can do some mighty big things in our life. It's the evidence of things not seen. Evidence is there in the spiritual realm, although you can't see it in the physical realm. That's how you got saved. You believe that gospel word. You believe Jesus died on that cross, and you called upon Him. You received Him, and He saved your soul. And the evidence was evident inside of you once you believed and called upon Him. That's when you were born again. You were quickened and made alive. And that doesn't change as we walk as believers. We learn to live by faith and learn that there are evidence of things not seen. The Bible even says in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. You can't please God if you don't have faith. So when we act without faith, we're not pleasing the Lord. Doesn't mean you lose your salvation. Oh, no, no, no. Doesn't mean you're even backslidden, but it means you're not pleasing Him. When He wants to see you act on faith, and He wants to, when there's nothing there to see, this is impossible, Brother Donnie. You can't even feed the little boy probably with this. You surely couldn't feed 5,000 grown men. I don't know how much I would have liked all that combination, but might not have been what my Lunchable would have been. But if you're hungry and your day has worn away long and you ready to eat, five little barley loaves and them two fish, boy, you'd probably ate it up pretty quick. But with faith, this young man is going to be tested himself. And I think about, as the Bible teaches us, that the Lord Jesus Christ is looking for faith. He's looking for those to please Him. The Bible says, he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Hebrews 11:6. He wants us to seek Him out by faith, and He wants us to live a life that is a life that's going to step out by faith so He can provide the things that we need and prove Himself, as the Scripture said, prove Himself mighty in our life. There's some of you here, you don't get rattled with every wind of wave. You don't get rattled every time something happens, every time you get one of them bad letters from somebody. You don't get shaken anymore. Your faith is strong because you've seen it over and over and over again. He's been there for you. Some are weaker in faith, might even be younger in their actual faith of being saved. The Lord's looking for faith. Here's a couple of examples here in the Bible. Jesus saith unto them, because of your unbelief, verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. That's hard for us as a group to grab a hold of that. To believe if I could just have a little drop of faith the size of a tiny little mustard seed, that God could help us to believe, we could say, move that mountain, God, and He can move that mountain. Yet some of you have prayed that prayer, maybe in a little different way, to move your mountain, and God moved your mountain by faith. And so that faith is strengthened. We look at places where the Lord looked for faith many times. Remember those four men that made a hole in the church, in the house, to get to Jesus preaching in Mark chapter 2, believe it is. And the palsy man, and the Bible says this, Jesus saw their faith. He saw it. He's looking for it. There's a lot of things going on there, but when he heard the roof coming off and he watched that man being lowered down there, to him he was watching faith in action. And he could not wait to act on their action of faith. I can't help believe that every day the Lord Jesus got up, obviously knowing what he was going to get into, it was probably pretty exciting some days. Now some days are going to be struggles and going to be hard, but he still faced them. But some days he's going to raise the dead. He's getting ready to feed 5,000 people plus here with five little pieces of bread and two fish. And it's one of the most famous miracles in the Bible. The woman with the issue of blood that came to touch him, the Bible says he turned about when he saw her, and he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. He was looking for faith. The widow might. Remember the widow lady in the treasury there? Everybody's putting money in the treasury. He's kind of standing back with his disciples. He's watching what people are doing. And he watched this older lady, this widow lady come up. And she puts two mites in. And it was everything she had to her name. And the Bible says, he saw this certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And he said, of a truth I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. He saw it. He knew what was going on. They cast out of their abundance. But he said, she has given out of her penury all of the living that she had. Not only did he see her faith, but he knew everything that was in her bank account. Or in this case, everything that wasn't in her bank account. I'm glad he knows everything that's not in my bank account. Amen. I'm glad he knows where I am in every area of my life. Now back to this lunchbox. Okay, let's move on. Get back to this lad. He was looking for some faith. And in Mark 10, don't have to turn there, but the Bible tells us that they brought some children to Jesus that he should touch them. They're bringing children there just to sit in his lap, just to have the hands of the master on them. Mark 10:13, they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. The disciples were trying to keep families from bringing their children to Jesus. But when Jesus saw it, which was not faith, he was much displeased because there wasn't faith there. And he said unto them, suffer the little children to come to me, forbid them not, for such is of the kingdom of God. To the kingdom of God, you got to approach the kingdom of God in salvation with a childlike faith, just to believe, even though you can't see it, you can't figure it. Some of you here, I don't know if all the people in this church are saved tonight, but some people struggle trying to figure salvation out, trying to figure out God. You cannot put him in a calculator and figure out and get you an equation or answer. Because if you could put him in a bottle, then you would be God and he would not. You can't make an algorithm and figure out who God is. Amen. That's why God sent him in the flesh. That's why he became flesh and dwelt among us. And he said, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. You can't go to heaven if you don't receive the kingdom of God with a childlike faith, a childlike approach, a childlike trust. And then he took those kids up in his arms and put his hands on them. Now, I'm not saying Jesus was a smart aleck, but sometimes I wonder if them disciples, don't y'all touch, would you touch my little boy? Will you touch little Jared here? Get away from him, leave him alone. He's a busy man. Don't you do that. Boy, he gave him a little message and he picks him up in the air and he rubs him real good. I'll rub these kids, and it's nothing creepy, amen. This is the Creator. I mean, this isn't perverted. This was the Son of God, the Son of the Highest. This was the Messiah. He could heal every cancerous bone in their body, any disease that was in them. He cast out any demons within, even kids in the Bible would throw themselves in the water, bodies of water, throw themselves in the fire because they were demon-possessed. And so why would you not want Jesus to put his hands on these little kids? And the Bible said he blessed them. Children have a trust that's very unique. There's probably some kids in here that might not only be mom and dad, but they might even trust somebody else. You can step up some of these little kids on the table or pulpit and say, jump here, boy. And some of these kids, I don't know if it's faith or foolishness, but some of them, they're going to spring on out of there. Do you know some kids like that? They'll just sleep in the air and they think, who? And the preacher's going to catch me. And I've had a few, I've tempted to do that before, and they shot out of that cannon a little faster than I was ready for. And the kid come out, and I just said, I don't want to be that preacher that drops this little boy on his head. And I'd snag him by that arm, and I'm barely keeping him off the ground, and I got him back on his feet. And I said, yay! I turned around and go, oh, Lord, help us. Thank you, Jesus. And I didn't kill that little boy. Some of those kids, they trust. They'll just leap. They have that faith. And Jesus on purpose said, that's how you got to approach the kingdom of God, to get in it. And I believe that's, if that's how you get in it, that's how you continue on walking in your life here till you enter into the kingdom of God in the spiritual realm when the Lord calls you out and you leave this earth and get your heavenly body. And instead of going after or pursuing what we want to hold in our hands all the time, what we can see for ourselves all the time, Jesus wants us to have a heart of faith like a child might have. You ever see a child have something broken and they'll just bring it to mom or daddy and say, fix. You ever hear one of them say something like that? Fix. I'm not an engineer. I'm not an electrician. That little kid doesn't care what you not. It believes that you are everything to them.
Yeah.
And said, Mom and Daddy fix it. No. I put some stuff back together. Some boys can be rough. Girls can too with toys, things. And you tape them or glue it and do some things with it. And it's making a little noise and working again. That little kid, he's happy as they can be. They get back rolling there. Well, if we could just put everything we have into God's hands and quit worrying about how long we hold it in our hands. Just take out what's in that lunch box. Take out what's in the bag. Turn over what's in there. Trust Him with everything. Now that's what ends up happening with this little lad. That faith is hoped for. The lad with this type of faith that he had, an example to us that we can overcome a lot of fear. I jotted some things down I wanted to share with you. I had written some notes down and then put the message together and kind of put them together. So I don't know that they're going to flow as much as I'd like, but I wanted to give this to you. This is 1 John 5:4. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world.
Yes.
And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And we use faith in a generic, weak term sometimes, but listen, it's pretty, you can't get saved without faith.
Right.
And you got to pray and call upon Him, yes. Prayer and faith are big deals in your Christian life, even after you are saved. And He gives this connection to faith here that you can overcome this wicked world that you live in by faith. Instead of worrying about it. Listen, think about this. Here's a little child. Adults struggle with this. So do children. But it's a human nature of self-preservation. I need it. I need it. I need it. I need it more than you need it. This is my bread. This is my fish. Don't we act like that sometimes? Some of you, you're struggling in your finances probably because you just can't trust God to tithe and give and get some mission money. And you say, I need it. My bread. My fish. You know what? In the eyes of God, your bread looks like that plentiful bread in my lunchbox. You could have so much more than you could understand if you would just trust the Lord. Just believe. And let that self-preservation just let it go back and trust the Lord that He loves you and cares more about your preservation than you could ever comprehend or imagine.
Yes.
He loves you more than you love yourself. He loves your children more than you. You're not going to do without. You're not going to have to worry about your power bill, worry about all these things in life. He will supply your need.
Yes.
I'm still learning some of this, but the thought of self-preservation, the thought of security, well, I could give you one piece of bread. I don't want to run out. I got two fish. I'll give you one of them. You know, I'm not saying you give them all. Not everybody acts like that widow lady, do they? Gives everything. But we have that mentality sometimes. I want my security. And doing some studies of psychology and things like that, and financial, Christian financial counseling and stuff, I've read some books about it. They say women are way more geared towards security than the men are. It's a real big deal to them. Men want to provide, but the women are more worried sometimes that it's going to be provided for. Men are sometimes like, well, honey, I lost my job today. It's okay, baby. I'll get a job. It'll be all right. It'll be all right. You know. You look in the refrigerator. You know, there ain't nothing to eat. Yeah, that's why I screamed. There's no food. And there's no money. I remember an evangelist, I won't call his name. But anyhow, he was preaching one time. He said he was studying about faith and prayer. He took all these books with him to pray and study and don't during the meeting. He's going to preach and he's getting all that figured out together, you know, and how he's going to be real spiritual. He had him all packed in there. And he gave an example. He said they were pastoring this little church before he even went into evangelism. And he's sitting at the table one day and his wife slammed down the what's that, Campbell's soup can. That's it. He said, I didn't have to get a dictionary out to figure out what that it meant. She said, that's the last can of soup in the house. They weren't making hardly any money. He was trying to pastor that church, and it was getting real tight. And he went up on the hill behind his house, got there in one of the little places where you pray. You ought to have a little spot where you pray. When that's it, then you need some places to go pray. Amen? Said, he got up near that tree. He said, Lord, Mama said that's it. And I know you know what that's it means. Amen? I'm glad it can get real simple sometimes. He said, we need some help. I'm trying to serve you and live for you. I've given my tithes. I've put you first. And I need some help. And he got down after that prayer session and praying and crying. Went back to the house. You know, no doubt the wife is worried about the security, not discounting her faith at all. But, it got real for both of them real quick. And somebody knocked on the door. And there was his deacon and his deacon's wife crying, tears down her face, holding sacks of groceries. And he's just standing there almost in amazement. He said, preacher, we was at the grocery store buying our groceries, and the Lord got a hold of us and said, what you crying about? I said, well, I thought we better take these to the preacher. He said, me too. And they just bought the groceries and took them to the preacher. You tell me that's not God.
Right.
I didn't make that up. I know that man personally.
That's right.
That's the kind of faith the Lord's looking at. And sometimes he has to let the last can fall down. The last melon. You need to know that reference. Got to be the last thing that's left. So that our security is no longer what we're trusting in. We're trusting in his security. This day, Brother Jeremy, he knew, I'm going to feed 9,000. I don't know how many people there. I believe this is my faith. And maybe it's because I wasn't there. My faith's real strong. I believe he fed some dogs. Some few critters running around there. You ever eat and have an animal staring at you, and if you got any compassion in you at all, you'd be like, looks like there's plenty of food here, ain't that? I think he fed way more than anybody could ever comprehend. The selfishness that we go through, it's mine like a child, and it don't belong to nobody else. The short-sightedness that we go through sometimes, and we just can't see it out of our hands. I can't see it in your hands, Lord. It's got to stay here. I've got to drive this ship. You see those little license plates? God is my co-pilot. That's phooey.
Yes, that's right,
Christ. Either he's in control or you're in control.
That's right.
And then just say, I'm not flying this thing. I'll just give it to God. He said, that's crazy. No, he can fly better than you can.
Amen.
You can't see it in your hands, you better start figuring out how to see it. Can't see it out of your hands, you better start seeing it in his hands some way. Without fear overtakes our life, we don't act by faith. Just like this young man could have feared losing everything and never getting his bag back or whatever. Well, they're all going to shed all these people. They're going to feed somebody else for, and I'm not going to get any. That's not how the Lord operates. You're going to get a witness here, some children of God, that know that you're not going to do without. He'll love you like you are his very only child.
That's right. Amen.
He could bankrupt all of heaven if he wanted to take care of anybody, but he doesn't have to. Every day he feeds those birds. You ever see a skinny bird? Most of them are fat around here. Not picking on you or anything, anybody. I got some Krispy Kreme in there. I've had it. I just love the little birds, and they're just chirping and having a big old time. And you'll see one come down in there, and they'll get a Big Mac worm and a Whopper worm and a quarter pounder worm. And it's just coming out of the ground. And they love it when it rains a little and them worms have to come up. You might not like stepping on them worms, but them worms are coming out of there because God's sending them to take care of them little birds. And there's little seeds and there's little bugs. And the cicadas are supposed to come out every 17 years. You ever try to figure out what in the world that's about? I think God's feeding something. There's certain bugs that'll be, certain things will be eaten. There might be a certain bird that's been like, now around here, boy, we wait for them cicadas every day. We get ready to stock up, boy. They coming out of the woodwork. God, you're not going to be last place if you put God first place.
That's right.
In our lone position, I thought about this real quick. I'm trying to get through this outline. The lone position of this lad. You know this lad, we don't know nothing about this lad at all. We don't know his name. That's against our nature. We want our name on it, don't we? When we get to heaven, just got to hope and assume this young little man, he learned something about faith that day when he saw what took place. He learned there was something very special about Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
That he trusted in him as he trusted in him over to him here. I think one day we're going to have it revealed to us what this little boy's name is when we get to heaven. We'll find out what his name is then. But boy, down here, we want our name on everything. We want our connection to it. We want some kind of recognition. Now, you got 5 loaves and 2 fishes here. No, wait. What you need, young man? Just make sure everybody knows my name is Brian Ellison and I donated this. He said, preacher, I'm going to quit giving. Well, just quit giving then. But I'm going to tell you, I sure like it when you can give secretly. You can just give without worrying about your recognition. And I'm not saying tithes. I know it comes through the church that way. But I don't go back there and look at what you give. You can ask Don. I don't go back there and say, all right, everybody do this. I don't do that. I hope you, especially if you're in a position in this church, you ought to tithe and be faithful. And trust God and be a giver like God wants us to be. But I'm going to tell you, I don't worry about all those things. I don't try to find out all those things. I promise you, God will find you out if you're not doing right. It'll come out. Yeah. God will reveal that to you. But that's about the only ones in the church that probably knows what you give for most time. And most of the people I've dealt with in this church, if they give something, that's how you do it. Send it, just give it and say, preachers, don't need nobody to know what's going on. The one that needs to know what's going on has already worked in that heart for you to write that check, to put that money in there. Amen. And he'll take care of it and provide it, whether you give it out of the abundance you've already got or if you're trusting by faith, I know God wants me to do this and he'll take care of it. It's exciting to do that sometimes. It can be scary sometimes as well. This little young lad, we don't know nothing about him. Things that Philip didn't believe were possible, this little lad, he must have had some kind of commitment to say, all right, take it. You didn't hear, what? And then some mama come in there, put my son's lunch box down. Who do you think you are? None of that junk went on. It's like that little colt. Said, you'll get that colt, you'll tell the owner that the Lord has need of him. And when they told them that, they let the colt go. No questions asked. This little lad just gave up his lunch box and his 5 loaves and his 2 fishes. And he had no idea what would happen after that. And Philip didn't believe it was possible, but this lad did. But I promise you this, faith overcomes the carnal, fleshly, worldly nature that we have where we don't want to believe God. Now look what faith does real quick. The disciples, they get to save a trip to the market. It's almost kind of self-centered there, isn't it? That's not what this was about. I don't have to go buy bread now, hallelujah. The disciples get involved in a miraculous event with each other. These men are sitting down. These people are sitting down in companies of 50 and 10. I think 100. I have to go read the rest of those books. And they're sitting around in a circle kind of focused on what's going on in their little group. And the disciples are coming back to Jesus. And Jesus said, he's taken the 5 loaves and 2 fishes and he blessed them. He called upon his Father to bless that little portion on this earth. He's getting ready to feed the multitudes with it. And they're going back and digging in here. I don't want to get this out because my little bread might crumble and I'll have to get my vacuum cleaner out. I don't want that to happen. You go back and here you go. Fish and bread. Everybody's eating. Everybody eats in this company. And 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 people. Everybody's eating. And then there's leftover. That's just plain flat impossible. To have more after you get done than you did when you started. But that is my God. Amen. Can't tell you how many times I've seen God do that. I've started the year in commitment to missions and ended the year with more than I had the year before that. Tax people will sure let you know about that. You know, Mr. Ellison, you made more money last year. Your taxes are higher. It's no good. But I look back and say, well, praise the Lord. If I got a little more money by giving more of it away, then hallelujah. That's just God.
Amen.
Amen. I got gas the other day at 270 or whatever it was. Filled up that church bus. $75. And I was shaking my head. And I said, well, that wouldn't have been too many years ago. I couldn't have bought nothing for nobody. Whether you get reimbursed or not, I wouldn't have had it. My car would have said decline. Now, y'all might have experienced such petty little things in life, but I've been through some of those things. And so my card worked that time, hallelujah. And I know God supplied my need, and that need was to take care of that need. I'm glad God does that for us.
Yes,
and then this story, real quickly, there were 12 baskets of fragments. 12. Now, some debate. Is that one for every disciple to take home with them? Or did all 12 of them take them back to the little lad's village? I don't know. We don't know that scripturally. But I know if those disciples were carrying those 12 leftover baskets to that village, so that whole village of that little lad could have a celebration and a feast, even if that's where it ended up, every one of those disciples, I almost believe this without any reservation, every disciple was carrying a basket. And baskets had to get empty before they were to ever get full. And if you were there at the beginning, Brother Donnie, and you said, "Can you believe this, Andrew?" I really can. There were 5 loaves and 2 fish, and we got 12 baskets full of leftovers. What just happened? It's a miracle.
Yes.
I want everything I got in that man's hands. Everything.
Yes.
In the Lord's hands.
Because
he said, "Well, now that's greed." No, that's just trust. I'm learning some faith. I might not. I don't know if the 12 went to one disciple or went to the other disciples might not have got involved in it. Or they might have got, "Hey, stay for supper. I know how God works. You're not going to be last in line. You're not going to be shorted. God's abundance and blessings are just like this. He'll make more out of what little you have if you'll just turn it over to Him." Our abilities, our ideas, our plans, our fears that motivate us to say, "Well, let's come up with another plan. Let's send them all home." Or, "Well, let me go down there and buy some stuff and I'll whip up a casserole." And somebody says, "Well, here's what we got." Either way we look, we don't have enough the way we handle things. So let's give it to Jesus.
Amen.
And He teaches them to give it unto the Father. And He blesses it and He starts breaking it. And of the flow of His hands, the only requirement that they were waiting for to have a miracle was just to have some faith. And the Bible says He made them all sit down. I don't know about you, but there was much grass in the desert. That's another miracle. I always thought that was kind of interesting. But y'all might not get much out of verse 10. He took the loaves, He gave thanks, He distributed. Jesus is my distributor. Amen. I have a distribution company. He'll take care of all of my needs, every single one of them. And He provided for them, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. That means some of them was sure enough eating. And they just kept on eating and eating, and then they finally like, "No, I'm done. I can't eat another bite." What'd y'all have? "Well, we had 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and I was so full I couldn't eat another bite." How is that even possible? I don't know. Jesus was cooking. Jesus was cooking is all I know. Amen. Faith is the only requirement. And that childlike faith asks of us to give it away.
Yes.
Just give it to Him. Trust in Him. That He'll give you the strength to earn that living. He'll give you the wisdom. He'll provide the transportation. He'll put the roof over your head. He'll take what little you got. If you'll learn to trust Him with it, trust Him with it and lean on Him for it, He'll take care of you. And they all got filled. They were all filled. Then they gathered up fragments more than what they had pieces of when they started. That makes your gears in your brain want to start smoking and grinding there. I can't comprehend that. I can't wrap my brain around it. But the Lord helps me to say, instead of me going after keeping it in my hands, I need to learn from this little lad. Whatever transaction took place, turn it over to Him. Trust Him. Trust it unto His disciples. Trust it, give it over to Him. Now, Sister Becky, I want you to come play something for us. If faith's a requirement to see a miracle, and you haven't seen too many miracles in your life, that'll make you think that you got some pretty small faith. You've not been trusting the Lord. I'm not just talking about financial realm. I've had fear overtake me, and the peace is trying to be robbed from my heart. And I'm about ready to surrender to that. And the Holy Spirit says, have faith. Overcome this world with that faith. Faith is the victory that you need. And just believe. Get a hold of some scripture like this and said, God, if you did this before with them and through them, and even though there was others just like me that might even say out, I believe, but Lord, help thou my unbelief. I got some unbelief in there as well. Help me to believe, Lord, you will take care of this need. And I'm learning by faith that he can do more with what I have than I can. He can do more with it. I used to be afraid to. There was a time I didn't tithe, the time I didn't give to missions. There was a time that I wasn't even able to really to reach out to help somebody else if they had a need. And I did all those things that I kind of mentioned to you. It's like my self-preservation kicked in. Well, you know, I got to get to work this week as well. I don't have enough gas to get to work this way. I've been in that place in my life. And I've had God push me to that brink, Brother Robert, and say, just trust me. He wanted to do something miraculous, and I'm wanting to live in this little bitty, small little world of my own, not understanding what he could do. I don't know the story, but can you imagine that little boy returning home? He's coming home. I don't know if he's skipping. I don't laugh at my skip. I can still skip a little. And mama, and then maybe mama's in the village, and what's going on? He's got 12 men with him, and they all got baskets. Hey, mama, here's what was left over from my lunch. Hallelujah. What are you talking about? And maybe they brought every bit back to that little lad. Or maybe each disciple did get to go home to their village. I don't know. Maybe every disciple got it and decided that they wanted him to have it. God does kind of do things like that, does he not? Promise you again, you're not going to be without if you'll put it in his hands. That childlike faith, I think, is the key to this story. I got to quit thinking like an adult sometimes that wants to believe that the world's more powerful than my faith, that Goliath's more powerful than David, that King Nebuchadnezzar's going to destroy the Hebrew children in the fire furnace, that there's just too many people here, Lord, to take care of and feed. I challenge you. Maybe some of you are going through some things. And it may not have anything to do with maybe the nature of some of the things I've talked about tonight. But you know what it is, and you know what God's speaking to you about, and you need to put it in his hands. You need to trust him with it. I've counseled and dealt with people before that were about to lose their jobs, and you know, when it's not your job, your faith's pretty big, isn't it? You can tell, well, you ought to pray about it. Let's pray about that, brother. But it's, when it's your job, you really prayed about that faith. You are really fighting the fear and the faith. Micah, my son, my oldest boy, told me the other day, he said, they called them all to a meeting, and their subcontracted company that works at General Electric has lost their contract, and they're all going to be gone by July 31st. So he's lost his job. Now, as a father, I don't want him to have to go through that. But I know, Brother Jared, that my children are going to have to learn some things just like I had to learn them. Most of all, they're going to have to learn what kind of God did they serve, just like I did. I lost my job. I was told I had so many days. I've told you the story. They gave me a raise before they got rid of me. I made more money than I was making before they told me the bad news. That's how God can take care and provide for you. He's way ahead of us. I was praying with Mike, and I got to praying really got to put my mind around it, Brother John. I was really thinking about it Friday. I said, Lord, please help Micah. You know, he's my son and I love him, and he ain't showing it, but I know it's got to be worrying him a little bit. They're going to have to reapply for all their jobs with this new company coming in, and they already told them not everybody's going to get rehired. So there goes that fear trying to push out that faith that you want to have. And I was going down the road. I said, Lord, please just take care of it. Just helping to get that interview. And we were eating lunch Saturday, and he got an email. Got an interview on Tuesday. And there's more people than there are jobs, but he already got his interview. So I'm hopeful. But it's not my job at state right now. It's his. He's going to have to learn. But I just got a feeling, though, that the same God that I serve, that he says he's saved and he's serving, is going to supply his needs according to his riches, just like he has according to his riches supplied my needs. And I'm hopeful that he's going to get that interview and he's going to get that job. He said, what if he don't? God's got something else for him then. That's faith. That's how faith believes. Okay, then there's another job out there. There's another door. There's some other way. Because God's going to take care of his children. He's going to supply and provide. Because he's a good, great Heavenly Father. It takes faith to believe that. Every time the bottom got ripped out from under me, every time I lost a job, every time there was some terrible medical situation in our family, here comes God with his grace again. Here he comes by faith and strength and providing peace, and he just put things together and takes care of things. I remember when I was in Arkansas with my mom and had cancer, and our car broke down, our van we had broke down. In fact, it was a van that was given to us. Didn't even pay a dollar for it. So I shouldn't have got all bent out of shape when it broke down because it was given to me. But when you're about 800 miles away and your wife calls you and says something's wrong, you start getting afraid. Man, if I could be there, I could substitute faith with my skills. I could substitute faith with me being there. But God didn't want me there. He wanted to show me he could take care of things. And together with this church and my home church that I had not been at in years, the need was taken care of, money was provided, and a transmission that went out, Brother Donnie, just so happened that Galilee, my home church, has a man that builds transmissions. You're too late to tell me that faith don't work, God's not real. That might not have been for me, or might have been for Joanna. I don't know, Brother Carl, but the Lord put me way out there and said, no, I got this. You just stay here. You can worry and bite your fingernails off if you want to. You can pull your hair out if you want to. You can substitute faith with all your fear, but I'm going to take care of your wife. I'm going to provide for her, and you're not even going to be able to touch it and be around and do nothing. You're going to be helpless while I'm going to put hope in this whole situation. And now those are stories of faith that I stand on and I praise him over. And when I get to doubting again, I need to reach back to those stories that are mine and say, God, if you did this before, I'm going to trust it by faith that you can do it again. Now, I don't know where you are, but the Lord wants us to have this special type of childlike faith in all manners of our life if we're going to please him. So I encourage you to trust him. Really, truly, deeply trust him. Turn it over to him. I know we can't imagine that he could do what he did. But no matter what you believe about that story, that little boy was able to witness there was more after the Lord Jesus touched it and God the Father blessed it. There was more. The needs were met, bellies were filled, and baskets were filled. That's the God I serve. And one of these days, I'm going to grow up and I'm going to learn to have that kind of faith every day of my life. Not quite there yet, but it sure is exciting. And I see God do the miraculous. Not just on the pages of the Bible, but on the pages of my own heart. Father, thank you for being real, providing my needs, taking care of things, doing things for me when I wasn't even able to be there. Taking care of needs financially that I had no money to supply it with. Healing physical needs when there was just no way that we could take care of it. Opening doors, closing doors. Oh God, help us to have that faith to just to take out what's in our little old lunchbox. Just set it on the table of faith and let you do your work. Lord, you proved some things to us last year. You're still proving yourself this year. Lord, if you don't come back, I want to trust you more. Walk with you closer. Have more faith in 2022 than I did the year before. Lord, maybe somebody will step out, reach out, turn it over, truly trust you in a way they've never done before. And I pray, God, you prove yourself miraculously and mightily.